Chapter 5. Mr. Collins proposes twice. The next day at Longbourn, Mr. Collins proposed marriage to Elizabeth. On finding Mrs. Bennet and Elizabeth together, he asked the mother for her permission to speak to her daughter alone. Elizabeth was too surprised to answer, but her mother immediately went away. Elizabeth sat down to listen and tried not to show her feelings, which were divided between amusement and dislike.
"Almost as soon as I came into this house,"
Mr. Collins began,
"I chose you for the partner of my life. But before my feelings get too strong for me, I must explain my motives for marrying and for coming here to Longbourn to look for a wife."
The idea of the serious Mr. Collins' strong feelings made Elizabeth so near to laughing that she could not stop him.
"My motives for marrying are, first, that I think it right for every man of the church. Second, that I am sure it will make me very happy. And third, which perhaps I should have said first, that it was asked of me by the very noble lady whom I have the honour of calling patroness. Let me observe, my dear cousin, that the kindness of Lady Catherine de Bourgh is not the least of the advantages I have to give. It remains to tell why I looked in Longbourn instead of my own neighbourhood, where, I assure you, there are many agreeable young women. But as I am to get this estate after the death of your honoured father, who, however, may live many years longer, I could not be happy without deciding to choose a wife from among his daughters, that the loss be as little as possible when the unhappy day comes, which, however, as I have already said, may not be for some years. This has been my motive, my dear cousin, and I flatter myself it will not make you think less kindly of me. And now nothing remains for me but to assure you of the violence of my affections. To fortune I am indifferent. I shall ask nothing of your father, and shall, indeed, say nothing ungenerous on that subject when we are married."
It was necessary to stop him now.
"You move too quickly, sir,"
she cried.
"You forget that I have made no answer. Let me do it without more loss of time. I thank you for the compliment, and feel the honour of your proposals, but I cannot do otherwise than answer no."
"It is not new to me,"
said Mr. Collins,
"that young ladies often refuse the proposals of the men they mean to accept."
"Sir,"
cried Elizabeth,
"I do assure you that I am not one of those young ladies. I am serious in my refusal. You could not make me happy, and I am sure that I am the last woman in the world to make you so."
But Mr. Collins would not believe her, though Elizabeth continued to refuse him.
"You are completely charming,"
he cried gallantly.
"I am convinced that when you see my proposals are agreeable to your parents, they must be acceptable to you."
To this, Elizabeth could give no answer, and left the room. When Mrs. Bennet returned to the breakfast room, she was surprised to see Mr. Collins alone and to hear his story. She immediately hurried to her husband, crying out,
"Oh, Mr. Bennet, you must come and make Lizzie marry Mr. Collins, for she says she will not have him. And if you do not hurry, he will change his mind and not have her."
"I do not understand you,"
said he when she had finished talking.
"Of what are you talking?"
"Of Mr. Collins and Lizzie."
"And what can I do? It seems a hopeless business."
"Speak to Lizzie. Tell her that she must marry him."
"Let her be called. She shall hear my opinion."
Elizabeth was called to her father's room.
"Come here, my dear,"
cried her father as she appeared.
"I understand that Mr. Collins has made you an offer of marriage. Is it true?"
Elizabeth said that it was.
"Very well. And this offer of marriage you have refused?"
"I have, sir."
"Very well. Your mother says you must accept it. Is it not so, Mrs. Bennet?"
"Yes, or I will never see her again."
"An unhappy choice is before you, Elizabeth. From this day you must be a stranger to one of your parents. Your mother will never see you again if you do not marry Mr. Collins, and I will never see you again if you do."
Elizabeth had to smile. But Mrs. Bennet was very angry. She talked to Elizabeth again and again. Elizabeth answered, sometimes seriously, sometimes laughing. But though her manner varied, her determination never did. As for the gentleman, his feelings were mostly expressed by a severe manner and silence. He did not speak to Elizabeth. Later that day, Miss Lucas came to visit, and then his attentions were given to her. Her politeness in listening to him was a great help to Elizabeth. The next day, Mrs. Bennet's ill humour had not abated, nor had Mr. Collins' angry pride. Elizabeth had hoped he might soon leave, but it seemed he meant to stay. Later that day, Jane received a letter from Netherfield. Elizabeth saw her sister's face change as she read it. She tried to appear as always and soon joined in the general conversation, but Elizabeth felt a great anxiety on the subject. When the two sisters were alone, Jane took out the letter and said,
"This is from Caroline Bingley. It has surprised me very much. The whole party have left Netherfield and are going to London with no intention of returning. She says she is not sorry to leave anything except for my society, but hopes to enjoy that again sometime. She asks me to write to her."
Elizabeth did not believe Miss Bingley's words. She was surprised they had gone so quickly, but did not think this would prevent Mr. Bingley from returning alone. This she said, but Jane continued,
"Caroline says that none of the party will return this winter. When Charles is in London, she writes, he will be in no hurry to leave again. This is why they have joined him there. It is clear that he will not return."
"It is only clear that Miss Bingley does not want him to return,"
said Elizabeth.
"You do not know all,"
objected Jane.
"Miss Bingley writes that Mr. Darcy wants to see his sister. Miss Georgiana Darcy is the most beautiful girl, she says, and she hopes that one day she will be their sister. Charles admires her greatly. If he married her, they would all be very happy. Is that not clear enough, my dear Lizzie? Can there be any other opinion on the subject?"
"Yes, because mine is different. Will you hear it?"
"Most gladly."
"It is this. Miss Bingley sees that her brother is in love with you and wants him to marry Miss Darcy. She goes to town in the hope of keeping him there and tries to make you think he feels nothing for you."
"No."
"Indeed, Jane, believe me. No one who has seen you together can question his affection. Could Miss Bingley have seen half as much love in Mr. Darcy for herself, she would have been planning her own marriage."
Elizabeth soon had the pleasure of seeing Jane look happier at the thought that Bingley would return to Netherfield. The Bennets were invited to dine with the Lucases. Miss Lucas listened to Mr. Collins most of the day. Elizabeth could not know that her friend planned to save her from any further proposals from Mr. Collins by marrying him herself. Early the next morning, Mr. Collins left Longbourn House quietly and hurried to Lucas Lodge to throw himself at Charlotte's feet. His reception was very flattering. His proposals were immediately accepted. Sir William and Lady Lucas gave their permission, and Lady Lucas began to ask herself how many years Mr. Bennet would still live. Charlotte was satisfied. Mr. Collins was neither intelligent nor was his society agreeable. Still, he would be her husband. She did not think highly of men or matrimony, but marriage was the only honourable possibility for well-educated young women of small fortune. It might not make them happy, but it would save them from being poor. She had never been beautiful, and now, at 27, she felt fortunate. The worst thing was the surprise it would cause Elizabeth. She decided to give her the information herself and asked Mr. Collins not to tell the family his news. As he was to set out early the next morning, Mr. Collins took his leave of the ladies at Longbourn that night. Mrs. Bennet, with great politeness, said how happy they would be if he visited them again. They were all most surprised when he immediately accepted this invitation and said he would be coming back very soon. The next morning, Charlotte came and told Elizabeth, who could not help crying out,
"Marry Mr. Collins? My dear Charlotte, impossible!"
"Were you surprised, my dear Eliza?"
Miss Lucas asked.
"Do you think it impossible that another woman might want to marry him because you did not?"
Elizabeth assured her that she wished her all imaginable happiness.
"I see what you are feeling,"
answered Charlotte.
"But I am not romantic, you know. I ask only a good home, and I am sure that I can be as happy with Mr. Collins as most married people."
Elizabeth quietly answered,
"Surely."
Later, she told her sister. Jane was surprised, but she did not think it impossible that Charlotte could be happy. Elizabeth and Charlotte spoke no more about the subject. Elizabeth felt that she could never speak openly with her friend again. As a result, she became even closer to her sister than in the past. Every day she was more anxious for Jane's happiness. Bingley had now been gone a week, and nothing was heard of his return. Jane had written to Caroline and was expecting to hear from her again. On Tuesday, a letter of thanks from Mr. Collins arrived, informing them that he hoped to accept their kind invitation to return to Longbourn in 2 weeks, as Lady Catherine wished him to marry soon. The days passed without news of Mr. Bingley. Even Elizabeth began to be anxious, not that Bingley did not love Jane, but that his sisters could keep him from returning. Their determination, together with the attractions of Miss Darcy and the amusements of London, might be stronger than his feelings for Jane. Miss Bingley's letter arrived and settled the matter. They planned to spend the winter in London, she began, and ended that her brother was sorry there had been no time to take his leave of them. Hope was over, completely over, and when Jane finished reading the letter, only the affection the writer expressed could make her feel better. Caroline wrote about the beautiful Miss Darcy and her hopes that she would marry Charles. He was now an intimate of Mr. Darcy's house. Elizabeth, to whom Jane soon told this, heard it in silent anger. She did not think Bingley's feelings for her sister had changed, but that his easy character had permitted his friends to interfere with his happiness and that of her sister. She was not sure if he knew of Jane's feelings for him or not, but in the end it made no difference. Jane's peace was disturbed. A day or two passed before Jane had the courage to speak of her feelings to Elizabeth.
"He has done nothing wrong,"
she said.
"At least I have not that unhappiness. A little time. I shall certainly try to get better. At least it has not been more than a mistake on my part."
"My dear Jane,"
cried Elizabeth,
"you are too good. I feel as if I never really knew you or loved you enough. There are few people I really love, and still fewer of whom I think well. The more I see of the world, the more I am dissatisfied with it."
"Dear Lizzie, do not let yourself feel like this, or you will never be happy. Please do not think badly of Mr. Bingley. We must not expect a lively young man to be always cautious. It is often nothing but our own vanity that makes us think admiration means more than it does."
"To men's advantage."
"I cannot believe that people try to do wrong or to make others unhappy."
"Not try, but not thinking of other people's feelings, not being decisive, this may be enough to cause unhappiness."
"You still think his sisters keep him away?"
"Yes, and his friend."
"I cannot believe it. They can only wish for his happiness. And if he loves me, no other woman can give him that."
"You are mistaken. They may wish many things other than his happiness. They may wish him a great fortune. They may wish him to marry a girl with all the importance of money and connections."
"I am sure they do wish him to marry Miss Darcy,"
answered Jane.
"They have known her much longer than me. But it is very unlikely they should have gone against their brother's wishes. Please, let us not speak of it again.